Hi, everyone. It's your host, Amy Geckel, and we are here with Entry 9 of the Eating Disorder Diaries, a podcast about my 16-year experience with bulimia and my life in recovery. We've got a solo episode today, and I'm pumped for it. But before we get into the episode, I wanted to say thank you to everyone that's been following, subscribing, liking, giving me feedback. I love hearing from you. And if you like this podcast, please do me a favor and hit the subscribe button. It helps the show grow. It helps me get the word out, and it gives the opportunity for the show to reach more people who might be suffering. You can also follow me on Instagram at The Eating Disorder Diaries. I love when you reach out and DM me and tell me where you're from, so don't forget to follow me there. Today, I'm talking about my experience with birth control and hormones and PMS and how that impacted my eating disorder. I've got a lot of thoughts on this, so let's get into entry 9. Did my birth control make my eating disorder worse? I thought a lot about my answer to the question, did birth control make my eating disorder worse? My immediate answer would be, yes, it did. But when I take a step back, it's a lot more complicated than that because, of course, it is. I started my period at age 11 or 12. And after that, it was just like, good luck, sister. Here's a tampon. This is going to be something you need every single month up until menopause. And then there's the PMS. Oh, you'll get cramps. You might get crankier. More tired, you might cry at TV commercials while eating ice cream out of the pint. We've all heard symptoms like that before. I'll tell you what I didn't know when I was starting my period, and honestly, I didn't know this up until recently, within the last few years, is that there are four main phases of the menstrual cycle, and the more you can track your cycle, the more you can be well-versed in what's going on in your body. Before I tracked my period, I could have these wild mood swings or binge eating episodes, and I would beat myself up about wanting to eat food. Then a week later, I'd start my period, and I'd be like, everything I did last week all makes sense now. Sorry, boyfriend, for yelling at you. I was just PMSing. But when you couple the well-known PMS symptoms of wanting to eat more food, like the stereotypical chocolate, and you have less energy, and you might be feeling more down, and then on top of that, you suffer from an eating disorder, things can start to get really difficult to manage. There were several years where I felt really trapped in the cycle of my eating disorder, and I wasn't able to break free. And I also had no idea where I was at in my menstrual cycle, so I was never able to understand when it was normal for me to start feeling more tired or when I was more likely to want more food. And I would always just get so pissed at myself for eating too much, and I could never get my eating disorder voice to shut up. So I would engage in the behaviors, get my period, and then the next month would come and the cycle would continue. Let me rewind a bit. I want to talk more about my journey with PMS and my hormones and with birth control. So I will talk about three major topics in this segment, including talking about the birth controls I've been on in my life and my experience with them. I've also mentioned in past entries that I've gone to a hormonal doctor and have gotten my hormones checked before, which was really eye-opening, and I learned a lot from that, which I'll talk more about today. And finally, I want to talk to you more about the female menstrual cycle and breaking it down in a way that I was able to track it more and use it to my advantage. And hopefully something that I've learned can help you out too, assuming you are someone who has a menstrual cycle or is interested in learning about hormones in general. Disclaimer, if you've been listening to the other entries, you know that I am not a doctor. But my goal is to share my lived experience with an eating disorder and recovering from an eating disorder because I am an expert on my own experience, and hopefully what I talk about today can resonate with someone else who's suffering. So let's start back at the time where I first went on birth control. Guys, I've been on almost every birth control imaginable, from the pill to the patch to hormonal and non-hormonal IUDs. I've tried a lot. But the first time I went on birth control, I was 18. I went to Planned Parenthood and I got a NuvaRing. It was probably free or very cheap. I was at a time in my life where a lot of my friends were going on birth control, so it seemed like the thing to do, honestly. I don't remember much about it, but I remember not loving it. I had never been recommended by my doctor to go on birth control for anything outside of preventing pregnancy. I never suffered too much from acne, never had really bad periods or anything like that. I was always really regular. So nothing too memorable about this birth control other than that it was annoying to have to deal with a plastic ring in your body throughout the month. I took it out pretty quickly because it honestly really didn't do anything for me. Fast forward 6 years, age 24, I was in a relationship. I was at a point where going on birth control was responsible, and I got wind of a website that allowed you to get birth control sent right to your door through their website. That website is Nurx, N-U-R-X. I've seen it pronounced a lot of different ways, NuRx. I don't know. Nurx. It's still around today. You can put in your insurance and fill out a few questions and get your birth control delivered to your doorstep a few days later. I was sold on the convenience. I started with the pill, as so many of us have come to call it. Its medical name is Trisprintec, and it contains two hormones, a progestin and an estrogen. You take the pill daily to prevent pregnancy, and common side effects include headaches, breast tenderness, mood changes, changes in weight, just to name a few. I definitely think I experienced a lot of those side effects, but I was also just not a huge fan of taking the pill daily. The habit never really stuck for me, although I have friends on it now who have no problem doing that. So it definitely varies person to person. But another side effect that I remember hating was bleeding for what felt like an abnormally long time on the pill, like 18 days. So I quickly got discouraged with using that and stopped taking it. Now here's where I have to stop and think about what I could have done better. I should have gone to a doctor. It was truly out of sheer laziness that I continued to dabble with different birth controls on this website without really consulting someone ever. Had I known then that I tend to have very high estrogen levels and maybe should try to avoid birth control with a lot of estrogen to decrease side effects, maybe I would have gone another route. But you live and you learn. So a few months later, I went back to the website Nurx and got on the patch. The patch is referred to medically as Zulane. It kind of looks like a Band-Aid and you wear it and it secretes hormones into your bloodstream. Zulane, the patch, also contains an estrogen and a progestin, just like the pill does. But after a quick Google search tells me now, I've learned that you will be exposed to about 60% more estrogen if you use Zulane, the patch, rather than if you use a typical birth control pill. And that makes a lot of sense. Why does that make sense? At the time, I hadn't done my research. I hadn't gotten my hormones checked. And I didn't realize that I had those high estrogen levels already. So wearing this patch and exposing myself to 60% more estrogen than the pill had really adverse effects on me. I definitely bled a ton, which was irritating, but I also had what I would consider mild suicidal ideations. I was not myself when I was wearing the patch. And this is around the time that my eating disorder symptoms started flaring up again. I felt like I was completely out of control. I couldn't control what I was eating, how much I was eating, and I had this consistent feeling of dread. I remember one night realizing just how damaged my thoughts were becoming, so I took off the patch and I was told the next day, it was like the life came back into my eyes. This was seriously not the right birth control for me. I'm glad I took it off. I didn't get back on birth control again until my late 20s. In the years that I was off birth control, I started the initial phases of tracking my cycle. I started using an app and I would put in when my period started so I could actually answer the doctor when they ask you when's the first day of your last period instead of having no freaking clue like so many times prior. Regardless of tracking it though, my period was always pretty regular, always pretty manageable in terms of not too much bleeding, not too much hormonal acne, whatever it was. And being totally birth control free allowed me to pretty easily pinpoint when my period would be starting and when I would be PMSing. And I noticed during this time in my life, my eating disorder symptoms would worsen significantly during PMS. I'm talking way more binging and purging, bloating, digestion issues, terrible, negative self-talk. And all of those symptoms would start to get better as soon as I started my period, and they wouldn't come back until the next month when I was PMSing again. I mentioned in entry 2 that I've always been interested in healing as naturally as possible without medication, and I wanted to understand my hormones better and just what was going on with them. But I was stuck because I didn't really know how to go about doing that. Fortunately for me at the time, one of my coworkers, we probably got to talking about hormones, and she mentioned that she was getting her hormones checked by a specific doctor, and we had the same insurance. So I decided to go check this doctor out. I made an appointment. I went in and talked to a female doctor, told her about my eating disorder and how I noticed that my symptoms would always get pretty bad during PMS, and I wanted to understand what types of remedies there were. This was back in 2019, so it's been 4 years now, but my doctor had me go to a clinic and get my blood drawn every other day or so during a 10-day PMS cycle of mine. So right before my period started, we could measure my hormone levels and see where they were at during the PMS to see if we could draw any conclusions from it. Also, she diagnosed me with PMDD, which stands for premenstrual dysphoric disorder, and it's described as a more severe, sometimes disabling extension of PMS. So basically my symptoms were just more extreme than a typical PMS. Like I said, my eating disorder behaviors would just flare up and I'd get really down because of this. So a few weeks after I got my blood drawn, I went back to the clinic to get my results. And here's what I learned. During the menstrual cycle, we know that our body is preparing for possible pregnancy. If we don't get pregnant, we have a period. Here's what I want you to remember. The menstrual cycle is regulated by a number of different hormones, but the 4 main ones are estrogen, progesterone, follicle stimulating hormone, also known as FSH, and luteinizing hormone, also known as LH. So estrogen, progesterone, FSH, and LH, 4 main ones. If we don't get pregnant during our cycle, as we get closer to our period, we're in a phase called the luteal phase, which I'll go into more detail on in a little bit. But in this phase, our levels of estrogen and progesterone decrease if we don't get pregnant. If we get pregnant, our progesterone levels will actually increase as this hormone helps maintain a pregnancy. So me at the time, not getting pregnant, not trying to get pregnant, we would expect to see in my blood my estrogen and progesterone levels decrease as I get closer to starting my period in this luteal phase. What we found was that leading up to starting my period, my estrogen levels stayed extremely high while my progesterone levels were decreasing unusually quickly. Remember, I mentioned earlier that I had really bad symptoms when I was on birth controls with high levels of estrogen. So this was really eye-opening because these results are telling me that my estrogen is already super high. So why would I be taking a birth control with even more levels of it? Also, having low progesterone levels can cause complications, and we suspected that this might be causing some of my eating disorder symptoms to be what they were during my PMS. So I was prescribed a low dose, 200 milligrams of progesterone in a pill form that I would take daily for 10 days before my period started each month in an effort to see if it would decrease some of these eating disorder behaviors. I said earlier, I am bad about taking daily pills, and not gonna lie, it was definitely challenging not just taking the pills daily for 10 days, but also even remembering when to start them each month. But at this point in my life, I was committed to trying to get better. So on top of tracking when I was supposed to start PMSing using my period apps, I would also put calendar reminders. I tried honestly just being consistent with it, and I definitely started to get a lot better. Again, this is just my experience, but if you're wanting to learn more about your hormones and getting them measured, I definitely recommend talking to your doctor or looking online to see what options you have. I would still be taking the progesterone on a monthly basis if I was not on a hormonal birth control, which I am now. I have an IUD. I didn't get on birth control again until my late 20s when I started dating my fiance, Brendan. Mom and dad, cover your ears, but your girl desperately needed to get on birth control after meeting Brendan. Sorry, not sorry. At this time in my life, I was also starting to feel more regulated. I was healing my eating disorder, and I basically wanted to avoid a hormonal birth control at all costs. So I went the route of a copper IUD, which is marketed as Paragard. As soon as I said out loud that I was interested in getting this IUD, I swear my entire TikTok For You page was basically just horror stories about inserting an IUD and how painful it was. That was not my experience. I didn't experience some type of crippling pain. It was definitely uncomfortable, not gonna lie, but it was tolerable. I believe I took Advil prior to the appointment, but if this is something you're interested in, I would check with your doctor, get their recommendation on how to prep for your appointment, even talk about what birth control you should be on. I had Paragard in for a little over a year until I couldn't take it anymore. This might be TMI, but I'm laying my life out in this podcast, so why wouldn't I tell you guys that the amount of bleeding and cramping I experienced with a copper IUD was not tolerable after a year. Every single month, it would be an excessive amount of blood, like bleeding through several layers of clothing, and cramps that were so strong, it felt like they were the cramps I was getting when I had first started getting my period. I truly could not take it anymore. Now, these are known side effects of Paragard, so I knew what I was signing up for, but it just wasn't for me in the long run. Overall pros of Paragard for me were that I was able to stay on my progesterone pill and I could still easily track my cycle because that stayed consistent. I didn't have hormones from the birth control kind of messing with my cycle, so that was still regulated for me. Because I was at a point in my life where I felt much more in control of my eating disorder behaviors, I was able to still pinpoint when I was PMSing, take the progesterone pill, and allow myself to eat more if I was feeling hungrier during PMS. And I was able to do that without falling back into a binge eating cycle. Unfortunately for me, the cons of the side effects I was experiencing outweighed the pros. So I started to seriously consider what it would look like for me to get a hormonal IUD instead. And aside from being nervous about potentially introducing a new hormone into my system, I was not looking forward to getting an IUD removed and getting a new one placed back in. That shit can be invasive. I actually have a girlfriend who is a nurse and is specializing in women's health, and she has started to insert IUDs into women, which I think is amazing. So on one note, while yes, it can be invasive, I've always felt like I've been in good hands with the clinicians that I've seen, and I think that's incredibly important. On that same note, I really wanted to get my clinician's perspective on switching to a hormonal birth control given the sensitivities I've had to hormones in the past. I originally went in for a quick consultation on switching out my IUDs, and I explained to her what my backstory was with having an eating disorder, taking progesterone, being really sensitive to birth control in the past, but also wanting to explore what kinds of options I had outside of the copper IUD I was using. She recommended a few different hormonal IUDs. Maybe you've heard of Mirena or Lyletta, and I decided to go with Lyletta, which has a low dose of progestin, which is basically a human-made progesterone. So we booked the appointment, but the day of the appointment, something just wasn't sitting right with me still. I honestly think I had not gotten through to my doctor, who I trust, about why exactly I wanted to switch my birth control. I still had a lot of questions. I didn't know if I should still be taking my progesterone pill. There was just a lot unanswered for me. So before we did the removal and reinsertion of an IUD, which was the point of this appointment, I sat down with my doctor again and explained the situation again. And this time I got through to her. We had a much more detailed conversation and she better understood my want for a more holistic approach, taking a new birth control, continuing on my eating disorder healing journey, and I just felt like I was finally being heard. She suggested I stop taking my progesterone pill if I were to opt to get the Lyletta inserted, so that's what I did. A couple of takeaways here. It is so important to be your own advocate, especially with your doctor. If something is not right, say something. If you feel like you have to repeat something, repeat it. You get to make your own decisions. You can also get second opinions. I wish I had felt more empowered during my first conversation with my doctor to make sure I got my point across so I knew what my options were. Also, I did end up getting Lyletta inserted that day, but that was a big decision. If you want to take more time to make a decision, do that. At the end of the day, I was ready for the change. I felt like my voice had been heard, so I felt prepared to move forward the way I did. It's been about 6 months since I've been on Lyletta and off my progesterone pill, and things are going okay. Definitely taking some adjusting, but my periods are super light. I don't cramp. It's preventing pregnancy, so it's doing its job, and the side effects are minimal. I would say cons are that I don't really know where I'm at in my cycle because I don't get a period like I used to. So that's hard coming from someone who used to use their cycle as an indicator of when PMS would be starting. So I could know when I was more likely to be craving different foods, be more tired, and I wouldn't beat myself up because of it, all of that kind of stuff. But because I'm now at a point in my eating disorder recovery where I feel like I'm in control, I'm okay with kind of being in limbo land with still figuring out how this IUD is working with my system. 6 months is honestly not that long of a time, so I truly think my body is still adjusting to it. I also find it interesting that the hormone in Lyletta, which I'm on now, is progestin, which I'd said was a man-made synthetic progesterone, which is the pill I was taking earlier. So I'm speculating that it's probably a good replacement for the progesterone pill that I had been prescribed to previously. If someone listening to this is an expert on hormones, I would love to hear your thoughts on that. I'm definitely wanting to learn more about my hormones in general. So send me an email, theeatingdisorderdiaries@gmail.com. I want to know more. But yeah, that's where we are now. Before I wrap up this segment, I want to do a deeper dive into the menstrual cycle and how we can use it to our advantage, especially if you're someone that struggles with disordered eating. So let's get into a science lesson, but make it fun, because we deserve to learn the most that we can about our bodies. So what is the menstrual cycle? Technically, it is a cycle that starts the first day of your period and lasts until the day before your next period. And then it repeats itself and happens over and over again, and it never stops. Well, it does stop. Our menstrual cycles end once we hit menopause, and they also temporarily pause when we're pregnant. But you probably already know that. I feel like it's all the rage right now to talk about cycle syncing, which basically means tailoring your workouts according to the current phase of your menstrual cycle. And maybe you've heard about those phases, but we're going to talk about them in detail today. There are four phases in the menstrual cycle. We've got menstruation, aka your period. Then we've got the follicular phase, followed by ovulation, followed by the luteal phase. If you do not get pregnant that month, your period will come and the cycle will begin again. So let's talk about these phases, starting with the follicular phase. This phase technically starts on day one of your period and lasts for about 10 to 14 days. The follicle-stimulating hormone known as FSH, which we talked about earlier, is secreted, and that hormone stimulates the production of follicles in the ovaries that contain eggs. Essentially, it's preparing our body to possibly get pregnant. This is typically considered a time where you have more energy, you might have less cravings. When you're cycle syncing, this would be a good time for HIIT workouts. Just more energy, feeling good overall. My eating disorder behaviors tended to be much lower when I was at a period in my life where I was engaging in behaviors frequently, and I think that stemmed from having less cravings and just being more high energy. The next phase is ovulation, which is actually a really short phase in your cycle, sometimes lasting as little as 12 hours, but generally lasts from 12 to 24 to up to even 48 hours, and I thought it was longer than that for some reason, but anyways, females tend to be the most fertile in the 3 days leading up to and including ovulation. How can we tell we're ovulating? You might notice more mucus. Do you hate that word? Around the time of ovulation. You might have a slightly elevated body temperature. You might even feel more attractive. Basically, ovulation is when we can get pregnant. We know this. Fun fact, in my Catholic high school education, they taught us sex ed. As a disclaimer, I no longer consider myself Catholic, but I was born and raised. And that religion is against contraceptive use, so no birth control. And they were big on teaching natural family planning. And I'm not going to lie, what I learned back like senior year has stuck with me over the years. Natural family planning is basically a way for you to pinpoint when you're fertile and when you're not, so you know when it's safer to have sex if you're trying to or not trying to get pregnant. What I was told back in the day was basically that after ovulation and before your period starts, if you're not already pregnant, it's basically impossible to get pregnant. However, depending on how accurately this is used, as many as 1 in 4 women using natural family planning may get pregnant, so you can take your chances with that one. I remember learning that if you were trying to get pregnant, you could also increase your chances of having a boy versus a girl because male sperm swim faster but die faster, and female sperm swim slower but die slower. So if you know when you're ovulating, aka when you can get pregnant, if you have sex closer to ovulation, the theory is a male sperm will swim faster and reach your egg faster, versus if you have sex maybe a few days before ovulation, the female sperm will live longer than the male sperm and be able to reach the egg that way because it outlived the males. Take that for what you want. That was my 12th grade natural family planning lesson. So we've talked about menstruation, the higher energy follicular phase, then ovulation. After ovulation, we have the luteal phase, which I touched on briefly already, but this was the phase where I got my blood checked and my hormones measured because I always found that in this phase, my eating disorder symptoms would flare up. And I feel like you guys know what I mean when I say behaviors. I mentioned binge eating already, but because I suffered from bulimia, there was excessive binging and purging, hiding food, isolating myself, depressive episodes, bloating, horrible self-talk because I was bloated. I would get really low and then I would start my period, aka day one of the follicular phase, and I'd slowly start feeling better again. So let's talk about what happens in the luteal phase. After ovulation, cells in the ovary release progesterone and a small amount of estrogen. This causes the lining of the uterus to thicken in preparation for pregnancy. If you don't get pregnant, you shed that lining, aka your period, and your hormone levels decline. This drop in your hormones can lead to bad moods, lack of energy, more irritability, increase in appetite. We know the symptoms of PMS. This is also a time where if you're cycle syncing, you'll want to do more low-intensity workouts like yoga, barre, Pilates, walking, just something less intense on your body than some crazy HIIT workouts. Remember I had said that when I got my hormones measured in this phase, my estrogen levels would stay really high before taking a dip, and my progesterone levels dipped really quickly. And I really think that that sudden drop in hormone levels really did worsen my eating disorder behaviors. I definitely felt depressed and more hungry and out of control. If this sounds like you, here's what I suggest. If you don't already track your periods, that's my first recommendation. Although sadly, I am in, like I said, this limbo land of not tracking my own cycle right now because of the birth control I'm on. I do have such a level of trust with myself now that I'm confident that I'm healed to a point where I won't engage in eating disorder behaviors no matter where I'm at in my cycle. But yes, get an app, use a calendar. There's tons of ways to easily track your cycle, and that can really help. When you know you're getting to this luteal phase, try to monitor what level your behaviors are at and monitor how you're feeling. A lot of these apps will allow you to take notes you can refer back to the next month. So try to capture that. The more you're aware of the way you're acting, the more you can figure out what your patterns are and what your habits are, and that will make it easier to hone in on those behaviors and figure out what you want to change. In the luteal phase, chances are you're going to be hungrier. And I know this is so much easier said than done, but as soon as I started allowing myself to eat an entire giant sandwich with chips, the sooner I started to break free of that restrictive mindset and avoid that yo-yo pendulum swinging back and forth that is restrictive eating. And I also suggest going inward during this time. Be selfish. Stay at home if you want. Your follicular phase is coming next, and that energy will be back in no time. At the end of the day, we just need to give ourselves grace, and that's absolutely something I'm still working on, but I'm getting a lot better at it. And that's a wrap for segment one. You're listening to entry 9 of the Eating Disorder Diaries with Amy Geckel, and we'll be back right after this break. right, guys, segment two, you know it's coming. We've got a recommendation and a positive self-affirmation. Okay, before we get into the recommendation, can I just say how much I literally love recording these? It truly feels like I'm speaking a journal entry out loud to my friends. The interviews I've had have been amazing so far. We actually have one coming up for entry 10, but the solo episodes are just my time to tell my story, share what I've learned, talk to you guys, more like talk at you, but it feels like I'm talking with you. I just really love it. And if you're listening to this, that means you've made it through more than 25 minutes of me talking already. So hi, I really appreciate you. Come follow me at The Eating Disorder Diaries on Instagram if you haven't, and say hi. Tell me where you're from. I want to connect with you guys. I remember recording an earlier entry and saying the podcast should reach 20 countries, and now we're at over 70, 75, something like that, which is so rewarding, still crazy, and really just makes me want to keep going. So thanks, guys. But okay, for my recommendation, or should I say recommendations, because I have two. First one, we have an app for tracking your period. I don't use it anymore, but my best friend and I have both used it and loved it. It's called Hormone Horoscope Lite. Lite for free. I think they have one that you can pay for, but we used Hormone Horoscope Lite. You go into the app. If you've used a period app, you know that you put in the first day of your last period, and it'll help you track your period phases during the month. But this app also has a play on its name, Hormone Horoscope, and every day it'll give you your own little horoscope, which has nothing to do with astrology, but instead it'll give you a summary of like your mood, your energy, even your romantic life based on the phase of your menstrual cycle that you're in. I remember it would tell me things like, today you're in day 8 of your follicular phase. Maybe go try a new experience or go out to a restaurant and try a new food because you're feeling crazy, you know, all of those things. Or it would say you're about to start your period, expect to lay low, pop on a movie, try to avoid true crime. It was honestly really interesting. So that's rec number one. Number two is a creator, and her name is Gabby Cheyenne. She's definitely FitSpo, has her own bikini line, Night Swim. But I've been following her for years, and she's documented a lot on her YouTube about her journey with overcoming binge eating disorder. She's funny, pretty, relatable. She posts workouts. I did all of her at-home YouTube HIIT workouts in my living room during COVID. She's one of those people that feels like a friend that you're following, even though she's got hundreds of thousands of subscribers. Gabby, I love you. You can follow her at Gabby Shay. I think that's how you say it. It's GABBYSCHEY. So yeah, that's my first creator that I've recommended. For my positive self-affirmation, today I will say that I'm creative. I think the podcast definitely unleashes my creativity, but I also love leaning into my artsy side. I've painted a wall in my house pink before. That was when I lived alone. I called it my girl pad. I love decorating for parties. I love home decor. I even love making my food look aesthetic. Another fun fact, back in the day, I had an Instagram called Empty Amy's Fridge, and I would post all of my meals using leftovers from the fridge, hence the name Empty the Fridge. Kind of missed that account, but anyways, yes, I'm creative, and when I lean into my creativity more, I'm usually left feeling more fulfilled. We are at the end of entry 9. Thank you so much for listening. We will be back in 2 weeks with a guest interview, and I will talk to you then. This podcast was written and produced by me, Amy Geckel, with music from Coma Media and Hybridus. Like I said earlier, come follow me on Instagram at The Eating Disorder Diaries, and if you want someone to talk to, you can talk to me. DM me on Instagram or email me at TheEatingDisorderDiaries@gmail.com. Remember to take care of yourselves, and I'll talk to you in the next episode.